So we have with us Dr. Shahat Al-Shamari, who's just given us a presentation about her book titled Notes on the Flesh. And we've decided to carry out this interview to get to know her a bit better. The presentation was coordinated by the Department of Gender Studies and Department of Disability Studies. Yes, maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Amy. That's very kind of you. So I'm here today all the way from Kuwait. I'm here to speak to both departments of gender studies and disability studies about this collection of stories. And the book is called Notes on the Flesh. It's available at the book fair, the book festival. I'm also giving a reading tonight. The book is about disability and women's empowerment, women's issues in the Middle East specifically. So it's a collection of stories, and each story takes a look at what it means to be disabled and in love at the same time.
Very interesting. Okay, before I proceed to learn more about the book, you mentioned during the presentation, you mentioned that you had problems with actually getting the book published. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Most publishers weren't very keen on publishing the book. They preferred if the book was more, let's say, sexualized than it was simply about disability and women in the Middle East. Because of the woman aspect, they preferred something a bit more provocative. However, the only publisher who was very, very open to it was Farasha Publishing. And this is actually a very good publisher in Malta. So I was very lucky. They picked it up and they didn't want to change the book or taint it in any way. They took it as it is, as a narrative of disability and love. So I've been very blessed, really.
Very good. Okay, so we can move on to, you know, maybe tell us a bit about, you know, your sort of your influence and how it came about.
Well, my area of interest has always been gender and disability in literature. I teach literature. I'm an academic back home. My own experience with disability was multiple sclerosis, MS. And once I began looking into academia and into disability, I realized that maybe I could actually write from my own body, from my own experiences. And that's when the book came to see the light. I decided it's time to speak out, to talk about what it means to be disabled and what that actually means in terms of literature. There were no illness narratives that came from the Arab world. And I decided maybe I should try and correct that gap in the literature. And that's what happened. That's how the book came to see the light.
Okay, and for anyone who reads the book, it shows that there are a lot of layers. So you speak about disability, illness, love, gender, which is obviously a combination of a lot of, you know, different genres and, and you know, different schools of thought even.
Of course.
So how did you manage to put everything together?
Well, the book is essentially what the feminist Audre Lorde labels as a biomythography. Most scholars of gender studies and women's studies will recognize the genre and the name. A biomythography has to look at different layers of identity, of different genres of literature. So you get some nonfiction, you get some fiction in the same genre, you get some poetry, some history, you get the personal and the political in the same book. And that's essentially what I was trying to do. Also, the book, even though the main line of thought is disability, I'm again going to quote Rosemary Garland Thompson on that. She says, you know, to understand how disability works is to understand what it means to be fully human. So the experience of being human has to overlap with disability and gender and love. It is a fluid process, and I've tried to examine that in the book.
Very interesting. Also, maybe you could tell us a bit, in the presentation you mentioned your experience with your PhD supervisor.
Yes, supervisor.
And how she was the one who sort of pushed you to bring to light, you know, your own experience.
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I was studying in the University of Kent, doing my PhD on madness in literature specifically. And one day I was sitting in my supervisor's office waiting to, you know, talk about what I've written. And I saw a book called The Cancer Journals. And the book was by Audre Lorde. And I asked her, my supervisor, Dr. Stella Bolaki at Kent, I asked her, what type of book is this? And what type of genre would this be? And she was the first person to say, this is what disability studies is all about. And I had no idea it existed beforehand. So she said, you know, Shahad, you have to try and think about disability and gender. When I came out to her with the idea of my own disability, because I had previously been silent about it, I wasn't open about my disability. When I told her, she was very, very keen on making sure that I developed a voice. And she urged me to write the book. And if it weren't for my exposure to disability studies within academia and having a supervisor who supported, you know, the creative writing process, then I don't think I would have been able to reclaim that lost voice. So okay. I've been very lucky.
Yes. Obviously, the book is about, you know, the perspectives and the experiences of women yes. in the Arab world. Can you tell us, you know, some more about that and whether you can compare and contrast even yes. With the experience of disabled women in the Western world?
Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is the book, although it's not overtly political, it is very interested, and I'm very interested in the similarities between disabled women's experiences in the West and the East. It's not that different. Yes. And I wanted to engage in that dialogue, in that comparison, only to arrive at more similarities than we could think. Disability is still pretty much a taboo subject. Women with disabilities are still treated as, I don't want to say inferior, but yes, they are at a disadvantage. Not all women who have disabilities ever get to have access to marriage or to motherhood. There's a lot of stigma around that. And so it's not altogether different from experiences in the West.
Can you maybe, I don't know, pinpoint the source of the stigma? Where is it coming from? Where is it stemming from?
I think both the society still has a lot of expectations of ideal femininity and womanhood. To be ideal, you must get married, you must have a certain number of children, you must also hold a very steady job, you must have a great career. So there's a lot of expectations. But when disability comes into the mix, you become less likely to achieve all of the above. So there is that society aspect, that stigma, and there's also a fear of the disability contaminating the rest of the group, or that, you know, if you were to ever bear children, the children would have that same disability.
Even if it's not something which is
yes.
genetic, for
yes.
example.
Even if it's not, because it's a lack of exposure to really what the disability constitutes. It's
lack
just, it's an irrational fear, yes. Yes.
Okay, and you spoke that you've been diagnosed with MS.
Yes, yes.
Is it something that you can freely speak about
yes.
in Kuwait? Or
Most women won't, especially because of at a very young age. I was diagnosed with MS at 18. So it was quite surprising and yes. at a very young age, and I was urged not to speak about it, because it would limit my exposure, let's say, to, you know, getting a good husband, a good job, a good, let's say, access to what normal life constitutes. Most women won't. I think my access to education helped me recover that lost voice.
Okay, now that you're mentioning education, yes. we know that, you know, very often academia and creative writing do not really get
yes,
on
yes,
very well, you
yes,
know,
yes.
Sort of, you know, you're either an academic or you're either a creative writer. How did you manage to merge the two?
I think because for me, identity has always been overlapping, has always been very fluid. Yes, I do teach, and yes, I can speak the language of academia, but I can also write freely, and we tend to move away from that, but actually both inform the other. You know, as a writer, when I'm writing, I'm also thinking about all the academic theory of disability studies, of gender. So my writing has been informed with that.
Okay. So speaking of your writing,
yes.
can you please read some parts from your book for us?
Great. I'll actually read a very small and quick section. The book is divided into two sections. The first is mythography, which is more non-fictional. The second is actually fictional. So I'll read from the fictional part. The story is called 40. They told me that what I was doing was eventually going to hurt me. You didn't have a chance at life. But why would I do the same to myself? This wasn't love. Love was supposed to be healthy and good for you. I was constantly choking on memories of us. I was drowning in remains of you, of your voice, and the way you insisted that I take my vitamins every morning. The complexity of life and death, the way we are always stuck on a boat, floating aimlessly. The boat simply floats. It doesn't know when and if it will sink. It simply knows it doesn't stand a chance amidst the storm. Grief takes time, and yet again, time takes even more time. The equation was never going to be understood. I was never going to find my answers. I spoke to angels. I spoke to psychics. I spoke to Allah at dawn. I prayed for life to be kinder. Everyone around me thought I was going mad. I was losing faith, but I was certain you didn't want me to give up on you.
Thank you very much. You can end on that note. Thank you, Dr. Ashamari, for being with us.
Thank you, Amy, very much. Thank you.